I asked the Lord this week. I was going, okay, Lord, what is it? I just like a word or a topic or something, and then I can ask for a little bit of information after that. But Lord, just what? And when I was in bed, I said, all I kept hearing was unity, 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 unity. Wow, eh? Isn't that cool? So I thought, this is so great. And I told Don, I was waiting because I was hoping he's going to get the same word. He didn't. So I'm going, oh, well, then I must be wrong. So he says, no, you know why? He says, go with that, because James is going to be speaking on unity. And his deal is unity in the whole body, right? In all the churches coming as one. And the unity that I was feeling was the unity of the body, right here, of us as a family. And then the foundation of unity, I'll touch on in a second. Just some of the benefits and the blessings of unity in our body. Safety, constancy, peace, joy, faith, rest, trust, security. Does everybody agree? If our body and our family, and not just for our body, but every church body, but I'm just talking to us, our family today as our body. If we are in awesome unity together in our hearts, our spirit, all of these things are part of our life. That's awesome. It's beautiful. It's so safe. It's so safe. The foundation of walking in unity and having the benefits of all of these things is love. Ephesians 3:14-20. I want to read it really fast. If you have your, I was going to say, have your glasses. If you have your glasses, turn. That works. If you have your glasses, turn to Ephesians 3. Galatians, Ephesians. Okay, 14-20. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we can. Oh, that is so incredible. I'm going to say it again. This is true. To him who is able, our God, to do exceedingly abundantly all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. That works in us. The foundation is the love. The power that works in us. It begins first. The unity in our body will begin first with the unity between you and your Heavenly Father. And so much, I know in the last few times we've been speaking, I've touched on your daily time with God, your constant time with God. And I put it out there as a challenge, and for me too, to really work, not as a law or to work on being disciplined in your time with God, but sometimes it has to start out that way, and because it doesn't come as easy for some as it does for others, but it so pays off. And so the more we are filled with him, the more we are connected with him in unity, the more we hear him, the more we know him, and the more we are in unity. I'm trying to rush through this. There's things I want to say, but I'm not going to. Ephesians 4:2-6. I think this one more. Ephesians 4:2-6. Okay. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So that just sums it all up. That just sums it all up. And that's what I encourage you in, to really, really get into. I was telling somebody this week who was going through a terrible time, and she was crying, and I said, you've got to find the center of his peace. You've got to ask him to take you right to the center of his peace that passes all understanding. Love that. Got to love that. That's beautiful. But that's the unity, finding the center of his peace and dwelling in it. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with the wind of with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness, deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So even though we all may walk in different giftings, a different calling for a different place, different time, we are all one body. We're all used differently, but we really, really, really need each other. And we really need to be aware of drawing close to one another. I don't know how I would have made it in the last couple of years without this body. And I know I've said that before, and that's the truth. And thank you for that. We are to lift each other's hands up when we get weary. We are to encourage one another. We are to pray for one another. And I encourage you this morning as a body to really consider what Bruno was talking about. We felt very strongly that we needed to be fasting and praying as a body for our church. We need a building. And he knows where it is and what it is and how to get it. But sometimes we really need to press in. Not just a little prayer here and there. Thank you, Lord, you got the building, and show us where the building is. Yeah. Naomi and Bruno are not the only ones that should be walking the floor and receiving and hearing from God on our building. This is for us. It's not just them. And we need to come along beside them as strongly as they are, and searching God's heart and asking him and believing that we receive from him and that we'll get revelation from him for our building. Because there's only like 8 or 9, maybe 9 weeks left. But that's okay. Let's press in. Let's press in together. And God will honor that. He really will. That's in unity is where you get your strong church. In unity as a body is where the church is victorious. Unity, and the foundation is love. Love. And I love the love here. I really do. I really love the love here. Can you feel the love? But we need more. We need more love for one another. We're a great bunch. I love you all. It's who? It's currency. It is. I gotta stop that. I just want to encourage you in that, to really again press into God, your unity relationship with him. And the more that you love him and the more that he pours love into you, the unity is stronger, and you give out to other, and we become stronger as a body, because a church in unity and a church in love is a victorious church, and we are victorious. Thank you, Lord. Bob, do you want to come and share? When we had a prophetic worship Sunday weeks ago. What? Months ago. Anyway, Bob had a vision and a word, and I just wanted him to share because it sort of went along with this topic.
Yeah, I find it interesting. It's pretty well to the day, 9 months. and just seeing what God's doing in the body and here. It's a time of birthing for this word. On January 30th, we had a prophetic Sunday, and we just had worship and prophecy all, for the whole service. God gave me a vision, and I've had just a few very intense visions, and this was one of them. I saw a whirlwind, and usually when you think of a whirlwind, you think of a tornado. But this was a flat wind that I saw, and this wind was going around and around and around like this. And it was inside a building, and around the, it was sort of like a octagonal shaped building, I thought. And it had, you know, brass rails, you know, like you would see in a bar or something like that, all the way around, handrails. And inside this wind, there were just incredibly huge angels, and they were just riding this wind with just exceeding joy. They were just, woohoo, just having a blast in this wind. And there was so much joy in this wind. And then there was the sons and daughters of God were in the wind. And they were just enjoying the wind and riding the wind. And then the Father started to speak to me about what I was seeing. And he said the wind was the unity of the Spirit. And those that chose to walk or be in the wind were in the unity of the Spirit. And in the wind, there was every form of provision, every promise of God. There was every healing. There was the raising of the dead, setting people free. Everything that you wanted from God was in the wind. And on the outside of the building, there were many that were holding on to the rail, and the wind was trying to draw them in, sort of like in the cartoon where you're drawn horizontal by the wind. They were holding desperately onto this rail because they were afraid of the wind, but it was the work of the Spirit. It was the unity of Spirit drawing the body of the Christ in for all the provision of God and everything that he was about to release on the earth in this day. And that's what we're called to, the unity of the Spirit. So that's in short what I saw.
Thanks, Bob. So in conclusion, for my final point, this is a really good talk, but you're not going to hear it today. You're just not going to hear it. We'll do it at another time. This is good on unity and the word that I got and we'll release it at some other time is destiny. Okay, and so maybe from unity to destiny, but I'm telling you what's on my heart for you guys, and I can't expound on it right now. We don't have time. But what's on my heart for you guys is that you come into your destiny. Father God has a destiny for each of you. He has a destiny. He has a plan and a purpose. And I'll tell you right now, it's way bigger than what you think it is. It is bigger than what you think it is. It's bigger than what you can believe. It's bigger than what you can think. And he wants to take you there. And he's going to take you there. And what's on my heart is that you come into your destiny. And so if there are things that are holding you back, if there are things that are blocking that, we need to, like Paul said, let us lay aside all the weights that so easily beset us. And let's get on to what he's calling us to do, because he's calling you into destiny. So let me speak some things over you. This is a great talk, by the way. Not today. God's thoughts for you are higher than your thoughts. His plans for you are better than your plans. His dreams for you are better than your dreams. The destiny that he has in mind for you is bigger than you currently imagine, and it's bigger than you can ever imagine. Whoa. Powerful. Well, see here how we're going to snip. Maybe I can take 5 minutes. Just take 10. I want to talk about Peter for a second. I really like Peter. It's Peter in the Bible, Peter. And we read about Peter in Luke 5. In terms of Peter, we read about his calling. You know, he's a fisherman, a crude fisherman, and he was called by Jesus in Luke 5. He forsook all, and he went to follow Jesus. And then he went into the what I call the Jesus School of Ministry, JSOM. It's a great school to graduate from. He then moved on to graduation, even though he failed his final test. He actually failed his final exam. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And then God brought him into his destiny. And that's what I'm talking about here for you guys. I want to see you come into your destiny. Even though you might have failed some tests along the way, and even though you might have failed your final exam, he's still going to bring you into your destiny. He's still bringing you into your destiny. So let's take a look at Peter just for a moment, at Peter failing his final exam. Did anybody fail the test? Fail an exam? Yeah? You passed one once. And then let's look at Jesus graduating Peter in spite of his failure. Okay, so let's look at Peter failing his final exam. It's in Luke 22 if you want to look at it. Here's the scene. It's just before the crucifixion, and Peter's been through the Jesus School of Ministry. He's just about ready to graduate. He's thinking, along with the other disciples, that Jesus is going to set up his kingdom, and it's going to be powerful, like a physical, real kingdom on the earth, right then and there, and they're going to be rulers and leaders in it, and so they're really getting caught up in this thing, and Jesus is saying no, and Peter's rebuking Jesus, and Jesus is saying, "Get behind me, Satan." This is how he's talking to Peter, and this is right before Peter graduates. And this was going through my mind yesterday. I could see just before this final examination, Peter's already got his business cards ordered. He's got his business cards ordered. It says evangelist Simon Peter, graduate JSOM. And he's got the little fish, you know, on the card. I can see it. He's ready. He's got his website prepared. He's on Twitter and Facebook. He's ready to rock. This is Peter. He's ready. And then we come into the final exam. Luke 22, 54. Love the business cards, right? With the evangelist, the prophet. Oh, you don't need a business card if the Holy Spirit's on you. All right, so Luke 22, 54. Having arrested him, that's Jesus, they led him and they brought him into the high priest's house. Okay, here's the test and here's the first failure. But Peter followed him at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them, and a certain servant girl, verse 56, seeing him, Peter, as he sat by the fire, he looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You are also of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then, after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." And immediately, as he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Verse 61. The professor looks at the Bible student. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. You know, I thought it was interesting as we sang that song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," and Naomi was talking about it. It's the eye contact between Jesus and Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said to him before the rooster crows, "You will deny me three times." And of course he says, there's no way that's going to happen. There's no way. So Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He got the eye contact with Jesus. What kind of an eye contact do you think it was? I think Peter looked into the depths and got a glimpse of the depths of the love of God. That's what I think he saw. I don't think he saw Peter. I think he saw love, the agape love. I think he saw the depths of God's love. I think he saw the heart of compassion. And then he just went, "I'm out of here. I have failed miserably." So Peter responds in fear. He denies Jesus three times. The look of love, the look of compassion. Peter left and he wept and he went away. I think he went away in shame and guilt and remorse. So what do you think Peter is talking to himself about? I think he's saying things like this. I think he's saying, "I've done stuff in my life that disqualifies me from being loved by God." I think he's saying, "I've said things about God," because maybe he lied here. He says, "I think I've said things about God that makes it impossible for him to accept me anymore." And of course, those are ungodly beliefs. But it was very real to Peter as he was in a state of fear. Really, a spirit of fear had overtaken him. You know, so he had to immediately, you know, close down the website and shut the throw the business cards away, right? Let's look at Peter's restoration. Let's go to John 21. Israel, I just want you to get an understanding of this. I want to get you an understanding of the failure at the final exam and the restoration. So John 21. We start at verse 3. So this is after the crucifixion now. Jesus is now appearing to his disciples. So 21, verse 3. In my Bible it says, "Breakfast by the sea." Verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We're going with you also." And they went out and immediately got into the boat that they might and that night they caught nothing. Verse 4, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet his disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. So a familiar miracle. That they're already familiar with this before the cross. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. One good thing about Peter, right? He's in shame. He's in guilt. He failed his final exam. But when he sees that it is the Lord, okay, he goes after him. He goes after him. The other disciples, they're sitting in the boat. "Yeah, we'll row, row, row our boat over to the shore. We'll get to Jesus." No, Peter goes after him. And if we're in shame, and if we're in guilt, and if we've messed up, and if we've failed, we need to jump out of the boat as fast as possible and go after God. This is what Peter did. He went after him with all that was within him. So verse 8. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not from far from land, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and he dragged the net to the land. Verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And verse 15. Okay, here's where it gets interesting. So the way I see this, this is Jesus ministering to Peter in their cell group. Okay? It's in the cell group. They're all there. Verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter. See, because Jesus knows that it's not complete yet. He knows that there has to be healing. He knows that there has to be restoration. And so he says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. And of course, Jesus wants for Peter to see Peter come into his destiny, doesn't he? He wants to see him get his destiny. He wants to see that. So he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And of course, you know that love, Jesus is talking in the agape, God kind of love with its unmeasurable dimensions, its depth. And Peter says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. In other words, I'm fond of you, Lord. See, Peter couldn't go into I agape you. Peter couldn't go there because he's thinking of, you know, I messed up. I messed up royally. I denied you. So I'm fond of you. And so in verse 16, he said to him again a second time. This is Jesus again. Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me with that deep love? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I'm fond of you, Jesus. He said to him, tend my sheep. Okay. First time he says, feed my lambs, that's a commission. Second time he says, tend my sheep, that's a commission. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, are you fond of me? And Jesus uses Peter's terminology. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things, like you're omniscient, Lord. You know that I am fond of you. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, the final commission, feed my sheep. So Peter's restoration happened right at that cell group, right while they were eating breakfast by the sea. God's love is the agape kind of love. It's absolutely the opposite of selfishness. So listen to this. After the cross, Jesus comes looking for love from the one, Peter, who had just failed him the most. His death and resurrection was designed to drive out fear and begin a new relationship based on the intimacy of God's love. Jesus, get this, okay, and this goes for all of us. Jesus is inviting Peter and he's inviting us past our failures. He's inviting us past our failures to experience the depths of God's love. That's what he's doing. That's the restoration that's happening here. This love, this agape love, this God is love, is more powerful than our failures, than our sins, than our disappointments, and more powerful than our fears. All those things that might hold us back from coming into his presence. And you might want to write down, because I don't have time to unpack this, but 1 John 4, 7 to 21 is a whole description of this kind of love. 1 John 4, 7 to 21. Look into that. Meditate on that. Let it get into you. Now the destiny. God's love is not based on selfishness. but on selflessness. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another, giving preference to one another. It kind of goes back to the unity, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. Let me give you a quote. Until we experience the reality of God's love and grow to trust Him with the details of our lives, we will not break free from the power of self. This love allows us to be safe in God's presence. It frees us to be who we are and who we were designed to be. So what's Jesus doing at his graduation? Because Jesus takes him from failure of his final exam. Usually if you fail your final exam, you're not going to graduate. Isn't that usually the way it is? You're not going to graduate. A lot of weight put on that final exam. Jesus takes him from the failure of the final exam into graduation, and he says, reach out to others. He says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, right? Reach out to others. Reach out to others with the same love that I'm extending to you. That's how he passes Peter. And of course, you know Peter's restoration. You know the evidence of Peter's restoration. See, when Peter was saying, yeah, I phileo you, I'm fond of you, Jesus, he couldn't use the word agape. But when Peter writes in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, he uses the word agape 9 times. He's got it. Okay, he's got it. We know he's filled with the Holy Spirit. We know he preached and 3,000 people were saved like that. And he moved into agape and experienced the power of God. So in terms of the destiny, and if we could cue up that song, because we want to pray for you guys. That's what we want to go to right now. If we could cue up that tune. Define yourself, this is for meditation as well, define yourself radically as one loved by God. This is your true identity. Every other identity is an illusion. See, Peter was having a hard time defining himself as one loved by God, and he had to run away and weep. Define yourself as one radically loved by God. This is your true identity. Every other identity is an illusion. And then our prayer would be, and my prayer would be for you to bring you into your destiny. Father, may the purpose for which you have created me and placed me where you have me in the world be fulfilled completely. That's it. That's my prayer for you guys today. That's my prayer for you guys today. Father, may the purpose for which you have created us and placed us where you have us in the world be fulfilled completely. Father, we worship you today. Father, we give you praise. We worship you. You guys want to stand? You guys want to stand? Because I'm telling you, you have a destiny. There is a destiny for you. God's already got it. It's like he had a destiny for Peter. He's got a destiny for you. Hey, thank you, Lord. We give you praise for that destiny. We bless your name. We bless your name. We know your plans and purposes for us are beyond what we could fathom. Beyond what we could imagine, Father. Father, we receive that today.